all of our volunteers have full-time jobs, are working in healthcare, and are, you know, have great demands on them, but they're all stepping up to help the community. So it's while work conditions, stress are high, we're all there for the right reason, is to help our patients and communities.
You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. You are listening to Beyond the SIG, a prescription for transformative pharmacy care. This podcast is developed in collaboration with the University of Pittsburgh School of Pharmacy and their Flip the Pharmacy team, and paid for through CDC grant funding provided by the Pennsylvania Department of Health to the Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association, broadcasted exclusively on the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Beyond the SIG, your prescription for transformative community pharmacy care. My name is Brooke Kalusich, and I am a third-year student pharmacist at the University of Pittsburgh School of Pharmacy. Today, I am joined by two very special guests from Skipack Pharmacy in Schwenksville, Pennsylvania. Skipack is a PPCN pharmacy and a Flip the Pharmacy participant. But recently, this independent has been making national headlines, recently featured on Good Morning America for holding mass vaccine clinics. You might recognize its owner as the pharmacist in a superhero costume. But today, we are going to speak with two members of the Skipack team who have been working behind the scenes to help Skipack pull off numerous successful mass COVID vaccine clinics. We welcome Skipack pharmacy intern Erica Mabry and American Pharmacists Association Chief of Governance and State Affiliates and Executive Director of the APHA Foundation, Mitch Rothholz, who is the policy lead for immunizations for the profession of pharmacy. So it's really great to have you both. I'm looking forward to hearing your story today.
Thank you so much for having us today, Brooke.
Yes, thank you, Brooke.
So let's get started here. Would you both please just introduce yourselves to our audience and give us a little more context on your professional backgrounds? Erica, if you want to start, and then we'll let Mitch answer.
Absolutely. So like you said, my name is Erica Mabry. I am a fourth year pharmacy student at the Wilkes University Nesbitt School of Pharmacy. So I'm super excited to be on rotations right now, but I've also been able to work in the community pharmacy setting throughout my time in pharmacy school. And I'm currently a pharmacy intern at Skipack Pharmacy. I actually started there after I did a AFI rotation with Dr. Mack at Skipack, and I hopped on as an intern, and it's been absolutely awesome since. So it's been great to meet him and so many other people within the profession like Mitch, where we can really help our patients out in the community.
Okay, and I'm Mitch Rothholz, as Brooke introduced. I work for the American Pharmacists Association. I am a pharmacist, a graduate of the University of Florida College of Pharmacy, been working at APHA for 26 years. And from the very beginning of my time at APHA, I was at the ground level of positioning pharmacists as vaccine immunizers, working with CDC, HHS, and other stakeholders in positioning pharmacists as valuable members of the immunization neighborhood. Before coming to APHA, I was also the state exec in the state of Alabama, as well as work for the Florida Pharmacy Association. And you may wonder, you know, how did I get hooked with Skipack Pharmacy and the great team in our community? Well, I live in the community, and when the pharmacy was getting notified that they were going to be accessing vaccines, Dr. Mack reached out to me, who I had heard about through my wife, who's also a pharmacist. They both graduated from the same school of pharmacy. She was telling me all about the great things he was doing of going and serving the needs of his customers, going into their homes and so forth. And I also gave him an award from APHA about 3 years ago for the Immunization Champion Awards. And so that's how I first became aware of the stuff he was doing. And when he purchased Skipack Pharmacy and started doing what he was, and he was getting the COVID vaccine, he reached out and said, can I help with the effort? And so here I am working with a great team within the community.
Great. Thank you both. Yeah. So when this interview was first proposed to me, my initial thought was, wow, this is sort of an unlikely combination of people, but it's so interesting to see how the two of you with such unique backgrounds have really been able to join forces in these efforts. So let's get a little more background. I'll direct this one to Erica, as you've been with SkipAct a little longer. And now you've taken on this huge leadership role in coordinating the mass vaccine clinics. Can you tell us a little more about your practice site at SkipAct Pharmacy? Like, what sorts of services do you provide? What patients do you serve? And how have you been implementing practice transformation, especially in this last year with COVID-19?
Absolutely. Yeah. So SkipAct Pharmacy has actually been around for many years and has been a huge staple in the community. However, like a lot of independent pharmacies recently, unfortunately, they were shut down. But Dr. Mack has lived in the area and he knew about SkipAct and saw what happened and was really devastated by it. So he actually took the step to buy the pharmacy and open it back up. Since then, he's been able to really bring some fresh ideas to practice here, and it's really helped to bring the community back to the pharmacy and make it a staple of the community again. So I actually just joined on back in, I think, like October or November. I started back up with the pharmacy. I was there on a appy rotation for my community pharmacy rotation. And I loved it so much, and he asked me to stick on as an intern, and I did. And I've been so grateful that I have, because I've been able to even implement some practice-changing initiatives at the pharmacy. So he really is able to let students do what they want. He's been helping to precept a lot of pharmacy students. So what we do is we come in with some great ideas, cool things that we've learned in school or things that we've seen other pharmacies doing or have heard with our friends. And he lets us take that idea and kind of just run with it and make it our own project and work to really better the community. We've also been partners with Flip the Pharmacy and the Pennsylvania Pharmacist Care Network. So that's been super helpful as well to really bring in some more ideas and how we can really help our community better. So we've done things like gone out and done at-home immunizations for like flu shots and things like that. And I think recently it's been a little tough with the pandemic, but we're still looking to implement as much as we can to really help our patients.
Thanks, Erica. Yeah, I mean, as a student pharmacist intern myself, I can definitely relate to how your pharmacy has had to kind of pivot your focus over the last year. But wow, how impressive you've been able to take this on as a student, and your efforts have been recognized nationally. Now, Mitch, you've spent the last year advising national vaccination efforts, and now you're putting your white coat back on and joining SkipAct on the front line. So from your national standpoint, how have you seen community pharmacies like SkipAct implement practice transformation, and how is APHA supporting some of those efforts on a national scale?
So APHA has been focused on efforts to obtain provider status, and provider status in two different ways. One is increasing the scope of authority and practice for pharmacists to really optimize their training and knowledge to benefit the health of individuals and communities. And the second is provider status from the perspective of payment reform that has a mechanism for pharmacists to get compensated and reimbursed for the patient care services that they provide. So we started in immunizations 26 years ago, and it served as a model for us really to get recognition for the patient care that pharmacists provide every day, and really has served as a diving board for us moving into as a profession into other care delivery mechanisms. And so through immunizations in general, pharmacists have been compensated for providing those services just like any other provider, whether it be a physician, a nurse, or other healthcare provider on the team in the area of immunization. So when COVID came about, we were already trained to do immunizations across the lifespan. And it was something that APHA really deliberately put in place over 20 years ago when we developed the training program, in that we wanted pharmacists to be knowledgeable across the lifespan and to serve as one of three roles for their communities: as an educator, as a facilitator, so working with other healthcare professionals who can come into our practices and do immunizations, and then also getting the authority to provide immunizations. The challenge we've had is that every state is different. And so we're dealing with 52 different jurisdictions, because I also include DC and Puerto Rico in that count. But every jurisdiction has different nuances. And then we're also seeing that play out again in COVID. So it's something that we're not foreign to, but we had, prior to COVID, had trained more than 350,000 pharmacists to do immunizations. Since COVID, that number has jumped up to over 400,000 pharmacists, and more than 20,000 technicians have been trained to provide immunizations. And so from the healthcare professions, we felt very confident that pharmacists were ready, willing, and able to serve the needs. And part of it also supports a term that we developed several years ago called the immunization neighborhood, which is really the three C's: collaboration, coordination, and communication among stakeholders who are dedicated to improving the health of their community through immunizations, as well as individuals preventing vaccine-preventable diseases. And so you could take that whole concept from immunizations and put any other kind of disease state to that, and using that same approach can build the collaboration within your community that pharmacists are engaged and active members of the care delivery team. So that transformation, dealing with authority, payment, and collaboration with stakeholders, is what will continue to drive us in a greater expanded role for patient care. And of course, you know, from APHA perspective, payment reform is significant for us to be able to continue to provide these services. And it's one of our advocacy points that we're really playing home hard right now in the COVID environment, because at this time where the community-based practitioners are so important during a pandemic, we've got to make sure that our policies don't take away from the ability for those community-based providers to be sustainable in those communities. We need community-based providers, so we need to be putting money into the infrastructure versus taking it out and sending it outside of the communities. And so that's an important part of it too. And I'm sure we'll talk later on in our discussion about the whole issue in terms of access to vaccine, but we are all advocating that any pharmacist who is ready, willing, and able to provide vaccinations has the ability to do that.
Yeah, so much of the progress our profession has made over the last 20 plus years, and especially in the last year alone, we really owe to the efforts of APHA. But it's really interesting to see how both of your perspectives, while very unique, really bring something special to the SCIP Act team in this time of need. Now, you've both been on the front lines of these clinics, recently administering your 10,000th vaccine. Can you walk us through sort of what these clinics look like? What has been your process for organizing these clinics in your community?
I think that these clinics have been not what we expected. They've been even better than that. So before we even got the vaccines, the planning started. And what was really cool was I was able to be part of it as a pharmacy student. So I've brought some ideas on how we're going to work with the flow of this and all the training that had to be done and things like that. So we wanted to make sure all our ducks were in a row before we even got the vaccine, which I think really helped us to get a kickstart on these mass vaccination clinics that we've been doing. From there, it was really getting the people. So SCIP Act Pharmacy is a small independent pharmacy. We have Mac, who is our head pharmacist, and then we have a full-time pharmacy technician. But then other than that, he has some part-time help, and that's really it. So it's been a huge community effort as well. We've had so many volunteers come in and help us in these vaccination efforts. And that's really how we've been able to roll these out and get so many vaccines into so many arms in our community. So that's definitely been absolutely amazing to see the community come together. And since COVID, the community's really been apart. Montgomery County was hit really hard in the beginning of the pandemic. I was up at school and I was even kind of afraid to come home because of how the numbers were. But now seeing how we've transformed from being so scared of this virus and how we were at such a low point, now seeing the hope and the excitement that people have to come help protect our community and help others by getting these vaccines out into our community, it's been absolutely amazing. So they've been pretty big clinics. This past weekend, we've actually done close to 3,000 in one day, and we keep moving towards a higher number. And that just comes with the community really wanting this and needing this and wanting to help as well.
Yeah, it's really incredible to hear about the effort of you and your pharmacy team and the volunteers and the impact you've had on your community. And yeah, while in COVID times, we've technically all been apart, it's really shown how the community can come together. Mitch, do you have anything to add about how you've seen the community kind of rally together in this fight against COVID?
Yeah. Thanks, Brooke. I build it off of what Eric had said. What really has just amazed me, but gave me such great warmth was that what I've been working for in my career on the part of the profession can really be seen in these clinics, where the immunization neighborhood has truly come together, where pharmacists, nurse practitioners, physicians, and other medical personnel are working side by side as a team. There's no hierarchy in terms of you're this practitioner, that practitioner. It's what can everybody do? What does everybody need to do in order to protect our communities? And that's what has been so rewarding to see. As Erica said, the way these clinics are being able to be successful is that collaboration and problem solving as, things will arise that may be different. You know, the big challenge for a lot of practices that do get access to the vaccine has been not knowing when and how much you're going to get. And a lot of the early clinics were really quick turnarounds because we all of a sudden got notified or Skipback Pharmacy got notified they were getting vaccine, schedule the clinic, get the volunteers, and get moving on it. And that has been what has been successful. It wasn't for the volunteers, and I'm just a volunteer, but it's another way of giving back to what I've had my career around is helping community and public health. And I've also just been working with MAC. I've also gotten contact from other pharmacies asking for consultation and guidance on their activities as well. This is all boats, rising here. It's the whole profession, and we're all focused on making sure that the profession comes out looking good, and this will lead to other opportunities. And so for the audience that's listening to this, we're all trying to also deal with the challenge of getting those who are ready and able to vaccinate, get them the vaccine. And from a national perspective and a local perspective, working with PPA, we are all advocating for that to happen. So it's frustrating right now of who has access to it, but those who have access to it, we need to support so that they're successful. And then as supply increases, the plan is from a national level is for everybody who wants to get vaccine and be able to deliver it. That's at least what the administration is saying. That's what we are hearing in our conversations. One of your questions you asked, Brooke, in terms of how the process for making this happen, we have a plan, a layout that we utilize so that it runs efficiently, where we've got individuals who are focused on pulling up the doses, preparing the doses, and then delivering them to each of the individual vaccination stations so that the individual who is vaccinating isn't having to worry about manipulation of the vials and drawing it up. It's being done at a central table and it gets delivered to the table in a timely manner. So the process that we've been able to do has worked in the big clinics that we've had.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. And I've seen this at my own practice site, and I never fail to be amazed at just how appreciative our patients are and how ready and willing the volunteers are to step up and give something back to their beloved community pharmacy. So we have all seen Skip Back Pharmacy on national news and on social media, but one thing we don't always see are those rich patient stories. Have either of you had any meaningful patient encounters, or has someone made a comment that might have stuck during these clinics?
I think that both of us have really been involved in the getting the vaccine and working to dilute it and everything. So our patient interaction hasn't been huge, but the interaction that we have had has been so meaningful to me, at least. And I'm sure Mitch can say the same thing. I have been able to vaccinate as well, which has been something that I wasn't expecting to do as a pharmacy intern. So that's one good thing that has come out of the pandemic is that I've been able to really put my vaccination skills into practice. And I've even been able to vaccinate my own grandparents, which was definitely, I think, the highlight of my entire pharmacy career, because they were able to see me, their granddaughter, doing something that I love. And it brought tears to my grandparents' eyes and tears to my eyes, knowing that I can protect them in this kind of way. But we've heard so many amazing stories from a young woman who was going through dialysis and hasn't really left her house except for her dialysis treatments and getting this vaccine, to grandparents who are finally able to hold their first granddaughter and finally see her for the first time. So these things have just really filled my heart with joy to see that this is giving so much hope to people. And honestly, the best comments that I have gotten from others are just thank yous. And they're not just a, hey, thanks, but a really sincere from the heart thank you. And that's just been something that's stuck with me throughout the entire process, whether it's me giving them the vaccine or sitting at our table, drawing up the doses. And as they pass by, they say, thank you so much for all that you're doing for our community. And I think that's really stuck with me.
And to Erica's story, I mean, our first clinic was in the snowstorm and people waited for an hour in the snow waiting to get vaccinated and nobody was complaining. And that just was amazing to me that people would be, you know, have that attitude, which was awesome. I think the other thing is seeing patients after they get vaccinated, because the way we set up the drawing table is we could see all the vaccination stations. And so we can also monitor what's going on in the room. And just seeing patients just break down in tears after they get their vaccine, it tears me up just seeing that. And I'll give you one story that happened this past Sunday in our clinic. I have a son, 10-year-old son who has Down syndrome, and we're very active in the disability community. It's one of the activities we do in the community. And one of the last individuals to get vaccinated in that clinic on Sunday was a young man with Down syndrome. And Sunday happened to be World Down Syndrome Day. And we typically go out, my wife and I and our family go out into the community and do things in the community on behalf of celebrating World Down Syndrome Day. And so to have the last person in the clinic who got vaccinated that day be somebody with Down syndrome just hit me. You know, and I had to step away because I got emotional. But that's the value of what we do for our patients and our community that really makes all of this worthwhile. And all of the, you know, healthcare providers in the healthcare system, all of our volunteers have full-time jobs, are working in healthcare and are, you know, have great demands on them, but they're all stepping up to help the community. So it's while work conditions, stress, are high, we're all there for the right reason, is to help our patients and communities.
Wow. Yeah. Stories like that are really why we do what we do. And that 10,000 vaccines, it's not just a number. They are 10,000 opportunities for pharmacists to provide the patient care that we're trained to provide. So while COVID has presented all kinds of challenges, it's really highlighted why practice transformation in the community pharmacy is so necessary. Can both of you speak to that? Why is practice transformation going to be so critical for the future of our profession?
Healthcare post-COVID is going to be different. There's going to be a new norm for a lot of things, and healthcare being one. And one of the things that we have already started doing, and I say we, APHA, but the other national pharmacy organizations and state pharmacy organizations are now starting to have that dialogue and discussion with the policymakers about the additional authorities that we've been able to get under COVID and which ones can we maintain and sustain post-COVID that optimize the utilization of pharmacists, patient care skills and services. And that's what we're really advocating for, the expanded immunization authority, the use of telehealth, the ability for pharmacists to do testing and screening, as well as try to address some of what I'll call antiquated pharmacy practice laws and regulations. There's going to be discussions about those and really talk about. But one of the other things too, as I mentioned earlier, we want to also change policies that are detrimental to the sustainability of community-based practitioners, whether it be pharmacy, whether it be medicine, whether it be other providers in the community. We really need to look at that because I think, again, the pandemic gave us, you know, insight in terms of how important community-based accessible practitioners are, especially in emergencies.
I'm so excited to hear about all this happening because I'm going to become a pharmacist in just a few months. So this is really exciting to see that we're going to be able to transform our practice as pharmacists. And I think we have seen how critical it is, especially with this pandemic. We are the most accessible healthcare provider. And I think that people now see that and recognize that because of our efforts during the pandemic. So I'm excited to hear that we're really moving forward in order to keep this going. Even if it is a new normal after the pandemic is ended, I think that pharmacists are going to play a huge role in that. So I'm really excited to be part of this.
Yeah, and as students, Erica, you and I will be directly impacted by all of these new initiatives once we start off as pharmacists in the coming months and years. Speaking of the future of our profession, I guess I selfishly want to get your take on where and how students can get involved in these efforts. And why would this be important?
I think this is huge. We are the future of pharmacy. That's why it's so important for us to be involved. These are practice-changing things that are happening. And it's good to get that hands-on experience. While we learn so much in school, I feel like we learn best by doing. So really getting out there and performing these things is going to help us learn and grow and become the best that we can be to further our profession and further help our patients. For a student, getting involved, just go ask. Ask if I can try this, or if you have some ideas, ask if you can try implementing them. I had a few ideas back in December before we even got the vaccines or found out if we were getting them or anything. And I spoke with Dr. Mack and he said, let's go for it. Let's figure out how we can do all this logistically and everything. So I just kind of went for it. And I think that's a huge thing. Just take that leap, take that chance. If you're offered an opportunity to do something, go for it. And I think advice from a student to a preceptor is to let us try. Again, we learn best by doing, and we are the future of pharmacy. So give us a chance and mentor us through it. Give us some good communication and feedback, what's working well, what doesn't work well, because that's how we learn and we grow. And we're going to be the ones in your shoes someday. So we need that mentorship and communication. But again, just giving us a chance and letting us try, and we will learn and grow, and who knows the amazing things that we'll be able to do as students.
Absolutely, and you truly are a testimony to that. Mitch, do you have anything to add?
So Erica, I really hit on the head in terms of, you know, when you're out there doing rotations or you're doing your internship, you know, lots of practitioners would welcome your idea in terms of new patient care activities that really they don't have the time to sit down and put together. But if you offer that to them saying, can I work up the plan and work and test something, you know, you'll get a positive response from a lot of your preceptors, because again, they're busy, they don't have the time to think it through. But if you've got a good idea that will bring them more patients, bring them more business or care to the community and individuals, many of them will be willing to accept that and have you work on that. And again, these are learning labs. And the other thing with the pandemic, these opportunities to participate in the clinics are learning labs for students. The knowledge that you get in pharmacy school, this is where you really get to apply it. And that's one of the things when we started looking at expanded authority and got from the PrEP Act amendments, the ability for student pharmacists to do more. That was important because student pharmacists are getting trained earlier in their careers to do immunizations and other services that they can go out and apply in the community. And this is an all hands on deck. And so the other message for students is that whether you're in school, if you've got the weekend available, you'll volunteer to help community pharmacies who have the vaccine, even practitioners, until you get your own vaccine. One of the things we've had several community pharmacists that have helped in previous clinics because it also gave them an insight in terms of processes. So when they got vaccine, they knew what the process was. They were participating in it. They saw things they wanted to do in their clinics, and that's helped. So by participating, it's helping those who have vaccine at that time, but also it helps you get prepared for when you get your vaccine as well. And students are, I'm one of the biggest fans of student pharmacists because of the excitement, the innovation, creativity that they have in multiple ways. The other thing where students could really help is messaging to patients and communities. Vaccine confidence is a big challenge right now across the whole system. And the more that we, and I say we, of pharmacists, student pharmacists and technicians can deliver consistent messaging to help ease concerns of the individuals we work with, that's gonna help us as a nation get to that 70 to 80% of the population getting vaccinated. And so I don't want any student to feel like they can't make an impact. They can in multiple ways. You just need to say, yes, I wanna help, and then find the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you both for sharing. You both bring such unique perspectives here from national association leadership to boots on the ground experience at these clinics. But I'm curious to know how this experience has changed your view of what the future of pharmacy looks like. What work needs to be done still, and who needs to be engaged?
I'm excited for the future of pharmacy. I think it's looking bright. I think that while there has been a lot of devastation that has come from this pandemic, I think for the profession of pharmacy, it's been huge to highlight how much we can help and how much we are really here for our community. And I think our community members are noticing that, other healthcare professionals are noticing that. So I think we're taking steps to all those amazing things that pharmacists can really do. And like Mitch said, we're working towards doing this post-pandemic and keeping up with the ever-changing practices. For me as a student, I'm really excited for the future of pharmacy, to be a future pharmacist. And I think we're in pretty good hands. We've gotten a lot of experience now. I feel so much more confident and excited to be out there on the front lines and to be a pharmacist in this ever-changing profession. So I think it's looking bright.
And to add to what Erica said, I think everyone who's listening to this is active, but I think we need to bump up our activity in terms of support for our state and national pharmacy organizations who are out there advocating for the changes that we need, fighting back on bad business practices of PBMs and other payers and systems. That's important because we need to address and remove barriers through the resources that we need to provide the care that we all went to pharmacy school to provide and that we believe our patients and communities need. And so getting involved from an advocacy perspective at the state, local, state, and national level is what it's gonna take. This is a time where, as we talked earlier, the healthcare system is going to be changing. Whether we like it or not, there's going to be changes. And with changes, there's going to be opportunities. You know, what we're doing during COVID vaccinations, testing, or even what pharmacists have done to go out of their way to make sure there was continuity of care. Those are being seen by many, and we need to take advantage of it. We need to be telling our stories to the media and to legislators and policymakers. We also need to address some of the barriers in workplaces. We've got a document right now that's out there that's being open out there for open comments on the fundamentals, the rights and responsibilities for pharmacists. Again, to have that dialogue to address some of the practice barriers that practitioners are facing, again, in order for us to optimize our ability to provide the care we believe that we can and should be able to provide to our patients. And those are things that we just need total profession engagement. The opportunity is ripe. There's going to be changes, and other professions are going to also be trying to expand their scope as well. Here's our opportunity as a profession. So I encourage everybody. I was on a town hall meeting last night that PPA held. A lot of good discussion about things that are happening at the state level that folks, you know, need to engage with and support during their legislative day visits. Getting to know your legislators. The one thing that the clinics are doing is they're getting legislators out in the community to see what pharmacists can do. Build off of that. Have those discussions with your decision makers, because they're ultimately the ones that are going to help move this to a new level.
Absolutely. Mitch and Erica, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the podcast today. It's really an interesting story of how you two have teamed up. And I know the audience is really going to find the Skip Back story inspirational. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us today, Brooke.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thank you. And to our listeners, thanks for listening to another episode of Beyond the SIG. Keep tuning in to learn more about the impactful stories shaping community pharmacy practice transformation.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the SIG, a prescription for transformative pharmacy care. Be sure to check back with the Pharmacy Podcast Network soon for the next episode. To learn more about transforming the role of the pharmacist, visit papharmacists.com/podcast. That's papharmacists.com/podcast.